At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome into the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, the sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, joined, of course, by show host Travis Ryer. You got to click on that Ryer on YouTube channel. Give it a like. Give it a subscribe. Some fantastic content on there on a regular basis. Travis stays at it with multiple programs that you'd enjoy. Talking Tide podcast, of course, taking a look at A-Day upcoming this weekend. Travis, a different A-Day for sure. We'll touch on Alabama basketball as well. I guess there's a little bit of roster news since we last podcasted on that front. But, of course, up first, Travis, A-Day coming on Saturday. It will be a 90-minute practice. I would imagine we might see some 11-on-11 live like you would in a normal practice. The scoreboard, I'm presuming, will be not turned on. Yeah. And that's going to be and the size of the crowd is going to be interesting, too. We'll touch on the future, which I wrote about a little bit about this for today's Tuscaloosa News. The future of spring games in general, right? A lot of schools decided to back out of playing a full-on spring game this year. Alabama, one of them.
No steaks, no Franks and beans. No. Good bread.
Yeah.
Remember that? Man, it seems like 20 years ago now with the way this thing is sort of pivoted to what we're seeing or not seeing really around the country, as you alluded to. But yeah, it was years past. It was today would have been like a walkthrough for A-Day for the scrimmage on Saturday. And instead, today was a scrimmage, and it feels like A-Day is going to be more like a walkthrough in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm guessing we're not going to see people taken to the ground, those type of things. Like you said, you'll still be able to take away maybe some one-on-one situations. Maybe you get DBs on wide receivers. You get a Dejon Lee. You get Zabian Brown, you get some of these defensive backs going against maybe Isaiah Horton, some of those wide receivers, guys that the fans as of yet haven't had a chance to see maybe as much of, whether it's the newcomers or the incoming transfers, some of that stuff, and maybe some big on big. I don't know. I'm all about a 90-minute practice if you give me those OLDL pass rush matchups, right? You give me those tackles and those guards and centers going against these defensive linemen and these edge guys. That's fun. But yeah, I mean, you kind of left to wonder exactly what you're going to see even from that perspective.
No crimson team, no white team. One can only assume that the Dixie Howell MVP of the game is going to be suspended, right, for this year, perhaps beyond. Is Jam Miller going to be the last ever Dixie Howell Award winner?
Yeah, I remember T.J. Yeldon won that thing like every year he was at Alabama. It seemed like he was a 3 or 4 year in a row winner. I think T.J. Yeldon was at the running back position. It's a great point because another big part of A-Day has been, the different awards for the different positions, for the walk-ons, for the commitment to excellence, the Sly Croom Award, the Mal Moore Award.
I think we'll see all of, I would assume we're going to still see all of that just because most of those awards are spring. Yeah, yeah. For the entire spring. Dixie Howell different, Dixie Howell is the game award, but, no doubt it's definitely going to be a different feel. What about an over under on that? I'll either set the over-under and you pick it, or you set it and I'll pick it. Over-under on the people, number of people that show up for this A-Day practice.
Gosh. I mean, they're still going to have the captain's deal, right? At Denny Chimes. I mean,
they sure will.
It's still going to be ceremonial in a lot of ways. It'll still be, if the weather's good, still incorporating the other events on a day, I'll still go north of 30,000, north of 40, maybe. What's your, give me your over under for Saturday.
I'll go under 30, but not much under.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe high number. 20s.
Yeah.
And just, why don't we check?
It's not going to be 2007. Right, yeah. It's not going to be 2007.
No, not at all. The weather for your A day in Tuscaloosa, low of 44, high of 66 and sunny.
That's perfect. I mean, you can't ask for better than that. And the price is always right for A-Day. So you do like it for folks that otherwise, based on maybe economics or they just got a lot of stuff going on in the fall, can't or don't make it to games. You can still get at least some of that experience, some of that vibe, some of that atmosphere, hopefully this weekend in Tuscaloosa.
How about the tavern owners locally, Travis? They're not going to, and the restaurant owners, they're not going to be quite so pleased.
That's some big new hotels in downtown Tuscaloosa don't like it real good.
No.
There's a lot of stuff that's been built over the last 5 to 7 years that didn't have this in mind. This wasn't in the future planning when you talk about that. So you do feel for some of those folks where commerce, is concerned, but you know, look, the fall will be here soon enough.
Our buddy Doug Nelson, who owns the Houndstooth, as I recall, you and I did a video feature on the renovation of the Houndstooth back in like 2000.
We did the new booth too. Remember
that's
that?
Right. Doug once told me that A-Day, at least in the Saban heyday, he said it was basically like a game day. It was like a game day in April.
Yeah, the home game
business-wise for Houndstooth. So
absolutely, hotels, everything. I'm guessing there's not a 2-night minimum in Tuscaloosa.
No,
this weekend. No. We got Austin Brooks checking in here in the show chat. Hey, if you would like to jump on board with some comments, we'd love to hear from you. We are live on a Thursday night here. On the channel, Austin Brooks with a Roll Tide gentleman. Good to hear from you, Austin. Bob Rutherford, always a great friend of the program as well. So, yeah, if you'd like, jump on board and maybe give us your thoughts on, even if it isn't so much A-Day, but just spring football practice in general, Chase. Some areas of this team maybe that are trending in a positive direction. You're liking what you're hearing. Maybe some that still have a few things to prove over the rest of this offseason and going into fall camp in August. So let's do some of that right now.
I do keep hearing Jeremiah Beeman's name a lot on that defensive line. I think we mentioned him the last time we were on the podcast, and it's an important area for Alabama for sure. Got a chance to watch that group fairly closely several days ago. They had a practice viewing, which, as you know, isn't necessarily very telling, mostly just individual drills, but got to watch those guys up close for a while. And Beeman was right up there with the starters. So I'll be surprised if he doesn't jump out and have a strong year for the Crimson Tide this fall. Got to watch Kelby Collins a little bit. Freddie Roach, I thought, was – had some high praise for him just in the little viewing period that we got to see as well. He's put together.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And, you know, Keenan's Keenan.
Yeah.
You know,
kind of know what you're getting there, and that's a good thing. I mean, he's going to be what you want right there in the middle of that defensive line, right?
No doubt. Is he going to be more of a penetrator this year? Maybe a little bit more of a playmaker. That's kind of the next step for him. But you know, I think in this defense, it's going to be more on the ends. LT Overton, for instance, to have that kind of role. And LT Overton, I think, is taking a step forward too. He's a guy who really got to the quarterback a lot. Didn't always finish like he'd want. Yes. Lots of pressures, not enough finishes last year. That's his area.
Yeah, for this group in general, coming off of last season, that's the thing for me. Finish on negative play opportunities in 2025. Beeman could be a guy that gives them more of that. Edric Hill, some of these younger guys, Jordan Renaud, it's about time for him as well. And then on the edges, Quay Rousseau, we've heard some positive things, I guess, about Justin Hill, the true freshman, newcomer too, working at that outside linebacker position. So, yeah, that seems to be a continuation, even going back to the end of last season. Defense has made strides. Defense is going to continue to get better. But offensively, I guess, until you really get a lot of these guys together in fall camp, it's going to be a little bit tougher to make some hard and fast determinations. Although, I mean, you anticipate Caden Proctor being the guy at left tackle. But it does sound like in terms of transfer portal additions, whether a couple of these guys end up, one or two of these guys end up in the starting lineup on that offensive line, Chase, or not, you're going to feel pretty good, it seems at least, about your third tackle or your third interior guy or a guy that can swing maybe between center and guard or guard and tackle.
They're in great shape if they feel good about their third tackle, because we don't know, to me anyway, we don't know if you got a second tackle just yet, right?
Is it going to be Will Conformby? Is he going to be the guy opposite Caden Proctor? As I sit here today, I would think that would be the case, but that's a competition, kind of like quarterback, you're probably going to let play out over the summer months and into August. So
I think Formby will be the guy.
Yeah.
But he's got to play better than he did a year ago, right?
Oh, no doubt.
When he lost the job and to Elijah Pritchett, who did not play particularly well himself at that spot.
No, he didn't.
If they feel good about a swing tackle, then you got to feel good about both starters and huge for Alabama to take a big step forward at that right tackle spot. That was the leakiest spot on the front last year. No question about it.
How do you think DeBoer's managing this quarterback situation? We've heard from a lot of coaches between us throughout the years in terms of competitions, and in most instances, there's a lot being said, but there's not much to take away from it.
Right.
Do you think DeBoer is managing this thing from 10,000 feet where he's thinking, I got three scholarship quarterbacks, I got to get this thing hopefully to fall camp with all three.
Right.
And what
right.
do you think the chances are that he's actually able to do that? Does it sort of depend on the pecking order coming out of spring? Because, he can say things through the media, but those quarterbacks, they go in that room and they know. Right. They know who's one, two, three.
Right.
However you want to put it publicly, there's still, I'm not going to say it's not definitive in a sense that it's what it's going to be in the fall, but coming out of spring, you're going to know, you're going to have a feeling for where you're at in that.
You are. DeBoer he's held his cards pretty close to the vest at the quarterback spot, which you would expect. He has mentioned that Simpson and Mack have commanded the vast majority of the reps with the ones, which I think you would also kind of expect. Russell's been working more with the twos, getting thrown in there just a little bit with the ones, but Russell's obviously, it's a developmental time for him. And it's still a developmental time for Mack to some extent. But more so Russell. To me, Alabama had so much trouble with turnovers last year, and not just interceptions, but of course a handful of fumbles too at the quarterback spot. The guy who could take care of the ball best has to have a leg up on anybody else. And you would think that would be Ty Simpson, as much as he's been around now, I guess fourth year of the program, if not, that's an area where you would expect a guy, even though Simpson doesn't have a ton of game experience, you would expect him to be the most ball security conscious, certainly. That's kind of where it starts for me as far as the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you kind of along those lines, given that Alabama opens the season on the road in a true road environment, at Florida State against a quality opponent, not so much last season, but you certainly anticipate Florida State rebounding to the point where it won't just be like Wisconsin. It won't be Madison for Alabama last season. Maybe it will, you know. But going into it, given all the things you said and what we know about Ty Simpson and his experience at this level and his time in the program, if he isn't the guy and it's not injury related, if he isn't the starter going into Florida State, why wouldn't, how could he not be, I guess is right. My point, yeah. Given how things set up and how things start for this 2025 season, I can't, it's hard for me to imagine him not being the starter in week one.
Same, completely. And you know, it'll be, I would imagine DeBoer would be pretty Saban-like in this respect, as far as not naming a starter until maybe even game week. You know, that was Saban's routine, at least in years where there was more of a competition at that spot. But you know, DeBoer's, like you said, you only got three of them. You got a portal window coming open at the end of April. DeBoer said a couple of weeks ago, look, three is one less quarterback than you'd kind of like to have, yeah. But it's pretty common to lose your fourth to the portal anyway.
I think it's going to be, if you have, here's the thing for me. If you go into a season these days with three quarterbacks you really like, not two and oh, we had to add a third because our third left and we're looking for just, you know, a band-aid. If it comes down to it, worst case scenario, we have to play a third, an emergency type of third quarterback. I just think it's going to be really, really tough to keep just three that you really like, you know. I think it's going to be two that you really like in a lot of instances. And then a third that, again, is more of an emergency guy that maybe in the summer before the season you have to go out and say, look, you're going to be a three, but you want to be a coach. You're thinking about that's the route you're going to take. Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb, these guys are excellent on the offensive side of the ball. It's a good jump start for you kind of from that perspective. And I understand it's Alabama, but it just seems like it's going to be harder and harder to keep three that you really like.
Well, if we're going to handicap potential quarterbacks hitting the portal, you got to put Mac at the very top of that. It's Mac would be the guy you would think it would be jumping in if any of them is going to jump in. No reason for it to be Simpson or Russell.
No, but the one thing I think Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb have is that, you know, he is one of their guys. We talked about this last week. He wasn't a holdover. He wasn't an inherited guy.
Yeah.
That's Ty Simpson, you know? So, and the fact that he is still relatively young and still in the earlier stages of his development and understanding, that's exactly the kind of quarterback he was going to be, whether it was at Alabama or Washington, that's the scenario where I could see Alabama keeping all three, even if it proves out that Ty Simpson wins the job. And even if Kalen Russell is the two, which I think as much as anything, that's where cards aren't going to be revealed going into the summer. Mm-hmm. If anything, the bracket's going to be at the two spot, you know, with Kalen Russell and Austin Mack, and maybe more so with an eye on trying to sustain those three quarterbacks into the season.
Couple other positions on the offensive side of the ball, Travis. What about that tight end spot? As thin as that looks right now, they've got one, count them, one healthy scholarship tight end going into A-Day. Yeah. I think this is the position that I think DeBoer points to most when it comes to why they're not putting on a full-scale A-Day game. Although he had already determined that before they lost Josh Cuevas, who's tight end one for this team, at least in the spring.
I think he is.
Jay Lindsey is the only healthy scholarship guy for the spring right now. After that, it's a handful of walk-ons and I think a transfer or two that fans are not very familiar with, certainly. That is a thin spot. Might see Might see a lot of 3 and 4 receiver sets if they do some 11 on 11 on Saturday.
Yeah, we talked about that. They could be heavily 11 in whatever they do in this version of an A-Day. So it's good for Jay Lindsey, though. I mean, a young tight end, guy they obviously like, you know, kind of came to Alabama as maybe more of a true inline guy, dirty work type of guy, but this is a way you can get him a lot of snaps. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, I think that will be fascinating. We got a question here, by the way, from, and by the way, thanks Ben and Travis here. So happy this duo is back and just subbed on the Apple podcast. Absolutely. Check us out on the podcast formats too, right? Good bread. But
yes, sir.
98 Wade asks, how aggressive is Ryan Grubb going to be early on with an inexperienced quarterback? Good bread.
You know, DeBoer said today he doesn't want just a game manager. To me, it still goes back to turnovers. Turnovers is what killed him last year. So, you know, maybe you're if you're Ryan Grubb, maybe you're trying to get through September without throwing too much on him, and kind of expand the playbook a little bit in October and November. I think with a whoever they pick, it's a first year starter.
Yeah. So I would probably worry more about protection than I would even the quarterback in terms of aggression, Chase. I don't know.
Right.
The tackle situation I'd want to feel better about, but I don't, you know, there's ways to not just go 3 tight ends and 3 yards in a cloud of dust,
mm-hmm.
And not necessarily be 5 wides and letting it all hang out of empty. You know,
right.
You can still throw it around 35, 40 times. You got the quick game, which basically an extension of the run game. There's ways that you can be somewhat conservative, but mm-hmm. it still look like, and statistically even look like, you're aggressive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to, if you get stuck in a lot of third and longs and you've got to take that, you know, you got to look for something deeper to move the chains. That's where the protection comes in huge, like you're talking about at that right tackle spot. And look, the backs have got to be ready to chip and pick up and help out the tight ends. Even you don't see the tight ends stay in as much, but if you've got a right tackle who can't handle being on an island on 3rd and 9,
yeah,
then you got a problem. You got to be creative if you're Ryan Grubb.
I think an area that we haven't really talked about enough where they will be better, regardless of the quarterback, is the quick game. Because mm-hmm. that just wasn't Jalen Milroe's thing.
No.
And Tommy Rees and Nick Saban, I think, understood that in 2023. Because there really wasn't a quick game right. in Jalen's first year as a starter. You didn't see the quick throws to the perimeter like you saw, or the RPO type of stuff, quick game with Bryce Young, or those guys before him, Mac Jones. It just wasn't a strength of Jalen's. I think that Ty'll offer some improvement in that area, maybe regardless of who the starting quarterback is. I think the quick game's going to have more of a place and be more effective moving forward with this this change at the quarterback position. Afro Man Davis with a Roll Tide here in the show chat, Chase. And 98 Wade says, hey, just put a black jersey on Jay Lindsey just to be safe at this point.
Might need it. Might Ooh. Need it. No doubt about it. Wide receivers real quick, Travis, before we move on to basketball, Ryan Williams not going to be participating on A-Day. They're holding him out for precautionary reasons. Looking forward to seeing Lotzer Brooks, the young freshman who's made a lot of noise in the spring. Talk is that he's been a difficult guy to cover. Smaller guy, suited to the slot. We'll probably see him in the fall working in that slot position, but and Horton as well, the big kid from Miami who comes in to play an outside spot. Looking forward to seeing those guys as well.
Yeah, the young receivers, the newcomers in general at wide receiver, and you know, kind of how that plays out. in this passing game, and then matching up with some of those guys in the secondary, like we talked about as well. Dejon Lee, man, what a big dude. I mean, I've watched the practice footage and looks like a legit 6'4", too. I mean, you see guys listed, rostered at certain numbers, but, and it's tough when you're 6'4". I mean, there's not many 6'4 corners running the woods, you know?
Right.
So, what a talent this guy is.
He's a head taller than just about any corner.
It's like Zay Mincy last year before he went to safety, you know, kind of.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, Lee's got a chance. There's no doubt about it. And you know, Womack was asked about him early in the spring and said, look, he's got the corner hips. He's got the corner feet. He's got the corner traits, regardless of how tall he is. Sometimes they come in 6'4 as a corner and you think, well, this guy will be a safety in a year or two. And maybe that's the path for Lee, but at least that's not my understanding right now. They like him a lot out on the island.
Wow. Very, very interesting stuff with the newcomer from Cali.
Basketball, Travis. We'll hit on that real quick before we get out of here on this edition of the Talking Tide podcast on the YouTube channel.
You got a basketball roster? I mean, what are we looking at right now?
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. I do. I can tell you that,
but you know what? We talked about like three guys we thought they needed to try to bring back, right? Mo was one of them, and he is a Kentucky Wildcat now. Yeah. But Cheryl was one. Holloway was one. Reitzel's obviously going to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel like at this point anyway, knowing that it's not over?
Right.
We know Jaren Stevenson is hit the portal with a do not contact tag. You know, Jaren Stevenson to me is kind of like Rylan Griffin, different player, different position, but at about the same point in his career. Mm-hmm. You know, Rylan made the decision to move on to Kansas. We'll see what happens with Jaren, but similar type of players in that you know they're talented, you know the potential is there, but in the year or two that they were at Alabama, the consistency never sort of met up. And that's understanding. I think both were young guys when they both hit Alabama. Mm. And I think some of this is also a cautionary tale about reclassifying too. You know, Jaren Stevenson can still be an NBA player. Now he's got to get stronger as much as anything. He's just not strong enough with the basketball. And unless you are just a lights out corner three shooter, which is kind of his thing, you got to bring some other things to the table. Right. And that's, I think, what you're still waiting on with Jaren. And all this is going back to with the slotting of the salaries for these guys, right? I mean, we talked about this on the last show. They know what the guys before got. They do. They know.
They do.
And so if they don't slot up into that with those guys moving on, they can probably get it elsewhere, which I'm sure was the case with Mo.
One of the last quotes Mo ever gave with a crimson jersey on was, "I know what I deserve."
Oh, wow. Sounds like Nico up at UT has an idea about what he deserves.
What about that mess? That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Oh, my. And he's got Tennessee right now. And what's Tennessee going to do?
Got to get him. Yep.
I guess they got the freshman. McIntyre coming in. He ain't ready.
No.
Nico, oof. But you know what? The fans, they all, that's it. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. And then you see the March Madness numbers, the highest ever for viewership. Right. I ain't watching. Right. I ain't watching a minute. Okay. Yeah, I don't think you were playing dominoes during Florida's win over Houston last Monday night, okay?
No,
I think you were watching.
NIL is it's turned it upside down for sure, but it's not hurting the consumer numbers, the TV ratings.
No. That's it. Done with it.
It's going to do it for this edition of the Talking Tide podcast right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. For Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tide.